Well, ladies, welcome back to the table. We're in our Bible study segment today, and Connie Stanfill, our teacher, is here in the book of Genesis. Connie, welcome back.
Thanks, Amy. Good to be here.
Well, we are learning from Genesis chapter 8 today. What will we be learning about?
Well, this tells us what happens as kind of the aftermath of the flood, as the flood waters subside, and then actually Noah's response to God and a promise God makes to Noah.
All right, well, why don't I read this passage, and then Connie will teach. And starting in Genesis 8, chapter 1, and we're going to go through verse 22 today. But God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the livestock that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind blow over the earth, and the waters subsided. The fountains of the deep and the windows of the heavens were closed. The rain from the heavens was restrained, and the waters receded from the earth continually. At the end of 150 days, the waters had abated, and the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. The waters continued to abate until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. And the end of the 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark that he had made and sent forth a raven. It went to and fro until the waters were dried up from the earth. And he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters had subsided from the face of the ground. But the dove found no place to set her foot, and she returned to him on the ark, for the waters were still on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and brought her into the ark with him. He waited another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came back to him in the evening, and behold, in her mouth was a freshly plucked olive leaf. So Noah knew that the waters had subsided from the earth. Then he waited another 7 days and sent forth the dove, and she did not return to him anymore. In the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. In the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth had dried out. Then God said to Noah, "Go out from the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing that is with you, and all the flesh, birds and animals, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, that they may swarm on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth." So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every bird, everything that moves on the earth, went out by families from the ark. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, "I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease."
Thank you, Amy. I think it's good to hear the whole chapter. It really gives us a sense of what's going on and just how Noah needed to wait for what God was doing and for the waters to go away and for it to be safe to leave the ark. Going back to the beginning of the chapter, Genesis 8:1, it says, "But God." And remember, in Scripture, whenever it says, "But God," it's a good thing.
Yes.
Because God is good. And it says, "But God remembered Noah." And really, the sense here isn't that God forgot about him. It's just God, at the right time, took action to help him. And so it says, "God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the livestock that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind, a ruach, or even a spirit blow over the earth." And it could even be the sense of that spirit hovering over the surface of the waters in creation. But God made the waters dissipate. And that's a beautiful thing. God is working to restore the earth to a fit place for man and animals to live. And it says, "And the waters subsided, and the fountains of the deep and the windows of the heaven were closed. The rain from the heavens were restrained." Well, we know that those went on for 40 days and nights, but now we've slowly, the water's going to have to go down because it's been such a massive flood. And it says, "And the waters receded from the earth continually. at the end of 150 days, that's 5 months, okay,
yeah.
Finally the waters are starting to go away. And it says, in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, the ark came to rest. And literally that's the word for rest, as cease from labor. And so you get the sense that it would, had been hard work for the ark to stay afloat,
yeah,
and to be tossed around and whatever all was going on the surface of the water. And it says then that it came to rest on the mountains of Ararat, is how I'll say it. But we don't know where the ark was, and we don't know how the geography has changed, but we do know that that whole area is probably an area in Turkey and could be a very extensive area. We really haven't found the ark that's been substantiated, and we don't know that it actually happened on the one mountain called Ararat, but these are high mountains. They're covered with snow and ice year-round, and someplace in there is where the ark came to rest. And then it says the waters continue to abate for longer, and then we finally find that Noah opened a window on the ark, and he sent forth a raven. And those of you who know, ravens are actually scavengers. They will eat dead things.
Okay.
And so if he sent out the raven, and the raven went to and fro and actually never came back to him, it stayed out there, the raven probably was finding some dead things to eat.
And yeah.
So whatever.
Floating, yeah.
Raven wasn't much help to Noah there. But then it says he sent forth a dove, and doves are different. They need to eat living things and plant life and all. And so the dove came back to him, and we find that Noah sent the dove out three times. The second time the dove came back with an olive branch,
yes,
with leaves on, which, oh, what a promise. There's now green life again on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, the third time Noah sent the dove out, she did not return, because she found what she needed and she didn't need to come back to him. And then we find that the waters continue to subside, and finally Noah took the covering off of the ark and he could look, and you get the sense that he probably could only look up at the sky until that happened, and so he couldn't see down very well,
sure,
because of where he was in the ark. He removed the covering, and he behold, the face of the ground was dry. And then after some more time, the earth dried out, and God said to Noah, go out from the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing that is with you. And so again, God is giving him a command. He told him to go into the ark. Now he's saying, come out. And again, Noah's going to be obedient, and in God's timing, he's going to do what God said. Verse 18 tells us, so Noah went out, and all his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with them. And then it says, every beast, every creeping thing, and every bird, everything that moves on the earth, went out by families from the ark. And I don't know, Amy, we know pairs went in, and now it says families are coming out.
I noticed that.
there may have been some young ones, I think.
Yes.
And there was time, because it's about a year since they went into the ark. And then verse 20, we find Noah's response to God and God's preservation of his family and the animals. It says, Noah built an altar to the Lord and took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. So now we find, again, one of those reasons that Noah needed to take more of the clean animals on the ark with him. We find that he's offering a burnt offering. And for the Hebrews, that meant an offering for sin. And so Noah understood his sin, I believe, and he was offering a sacrifice of atonement for sin, which ultimately is going to be Jesus Christ. But in obedience to God, he was offering a burnt offering. And then we find God's response to it and says, and when God smelled the pleasing aroma, that word for pleasing is related to Noah's name, comfort. It's a soothing, pleasing aroma, which means God saw Noah's heart attitude of rightly responding to God,
yes,
and that pleased God. And then we have a promise from God. The Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man. This actually is a different word for curse than we had back in Genesis 3. It's a word that means dishonor. And so God is saying, I'm never again going to actually flood the earth like I did. The ground is still cursed. We still bear the original curses God gave to humans. But here God is saying, I'm not going to destroy the world again by a flood. And then he goes on and he says, for the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. God knows us.
Yes, he does.
He knows our evil hearts. And then he says, neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Mm. And so God is promising to preserve the general cycles of the earth. And he will never again destroy all the earth with a flood. We know there's been floods since then, great floods, but never global,
a worldwide
flood.
Right.
Exactly. So as we consider this passage, we need to just focus on God's faithfulness And Noah's actually faithfulness to God in desiring to offer burnt offering. And I think it was probably out of gratitude also that he offered to God, knowing he'd been preserved. And really, we need to then take a look at what God did in this flood, and it just draws us right away to look to Jesus and what he's done for us and preserving us through the waters of judgment and is our Savior. So that's probably something, Nancy, and you can talk about, Amy, when you...
Definitely will do that in the next segment. Well, Connie, thank you so much for teaching us. We really appreciate your lessons. And ladies, Connie's put together some notes and some study questions that you can ask if you have a group that you're doing these with. You can use whatever lesson materials, the podcast, anything you like from our website. If you're just doing these by yourself, please go ahead and do this assignment as well. And it'll really help you grow as we dig in Scripture together. All right, we are going to take a break. And like Connie said, Nancy will be back next segment with me, and we'll discuss more about what we just learned.